World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, crazy. Great. Got a lot going on. It's all good. Got a lot going on. Chad's here. That's enough to... Anyway, I was up pretty late last night, and a lot of stuff going on around us. And you know, like I try to say every day when I come in here, we're in the crucible. We're in the crucible. Hey, Spence, for those who are late, hey, we're doing communion. Get communion ready, okay? Crucible. Throw that up there, Spencer. Because I'm just telling you, it's everywhere we look. We're in the crucible. Now let me pull that up there. A crucible is a hollow place at the bottom of a chemical furnace, all right? Crucible is where things are baked and melted and it comes out something different. That's a crucible. Ooh. And we're in one of those. In fact, we've been in one for quite a while. Ooh. The idea of what direction is America going to go? Lord, let the words of our lips, meditation of our heart, be pleasing in your sight. That's the crucible. It's a crossroads. And we're certainly sitting at a crossroads. One of the crossroads we're sitting at is the reality of what's going around us and the spiritual cause, effect, whatever. We have the natural world in which we live and all this crazy stuff's gone on. And if you believe the Bible, we have the spiritual world where all of this stuff is being cooked up and fought. And that's what we're wrestling with, the spiritual realm. And it's hard for us to understand cause and effect. That this happened because of this. And this happened because of this. And the truth of the matter is, everything that we are dealing with is spiritual. Spiritual. And also, this is important for all of you to understand. I know things you don't know. And you know things I don't know. I've had experiences you haven't had. And you've had experiences that I haven't had. And I would say this oftentimes, if you were sitting in my chair, what would you do? Well, here's the truth. By sitting in my chair, you would have to look at it from a different perspective. And all those things that you were allowed to say and believe and as you've done in private, you'd have to defend them. You have to defend them. And those of you who have been here any length of time know this, that when you come into Coach Dave Live, it's a free-for-all on theology. You can believe whatever the hell you want to believe here. And I give you the opportunity to explain it. And I would never say to Gene Schroeder or Paul or Laura Ann or Jared, people I'm seeing right here, I'd never say, hey, Paul, your doctrine's wrong. You're going to hell. You need to repent. I would never say that. I would say, here's what I see. Here's what I see. These two, they can't both be right. You need to repent. What is this? This is a podcast. I need to repent for saying what I believe or what I think or what I analyze. I need to repent. Say, well, Coach, you got great influence. You got a lot of people following you. No, I know, I get that. I got a lot of people following us. A lot of people who can think and make their own decisions. And a lot of people who have the same Holy Spirit that I have. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells me to say it and the Holy Spirit tells you that I should repent for it, one of us ain't right, boys. The Holy Spirit ain't double-minded. He ain't double-minded. And Jesus said this. I'll take that back because I love this scripture. I love this. When Jesus is turning the water into wine, we all know that scene, don't we? He turns the water into wine. Before he does that, I wish I could find. I'll find it for you later. His mother, Mary, comes up to has a little discussion with him, and he explains what's going on. I'm kind of paraphrasing it. But then he goes to all the people there. John 2, thanks, Dale. He goes to all the people, and he says to them, whatever he says unto you, do it. Can I tell you something? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Whatever he says unto you, do it. The Bible says that to obey is better than the sacrifice. So sometimes Coach Dave has to say some hard things. Why? To obey is better than to sacrifice. I said, you know, Lord, if I bring that subject up, golly, I don't even want to go there. He says, well, I think you ought to bring it up. Because, can I tell you why? Because not everybody believes like you. Not everybody believes it. Do you know that there's a strong, this is all off the cuff here, right? Do you have any idea how many people in the world believe in speaking in tongues? Do you have any idea how many? Would you say hundreds of millions? Maybe into the billions? Right? They call it charismatic, speaking in tongues, believing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you also know how many don't believe in the gifts? Do you? A bunch. So when we get down to the brass tacks of it, can two walk together lest they agree? Well, I'm going to walk. My buddy Paul Goslin and I, we may not have the same theology, but I'm going to walk with that dude. I'm going to walk with him. He's my brother. And he may see it one way and I may see it another, but I'm not going to divide over him over theology. What? The hell, what's going on? But see, that's where we are. That's why we have all the denominations. That's why there's no power in the church, because there's no unity. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. We got Christians who don't even like each other. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? We're supposed to love our neighbors ourselves, and we don't even love fellow Christians. Wow, man, oh, man, oh, man. So I'm going to tell you this. I don't know. I ain't got it all figured out. I don't know. And here's what I think. And don't tell me I got to repent because I don't think like you. We good with that? We good? Folks, this is a podcast. It's Coach Dave Live. It's about what I think. And I don't, I'm not going to get into it anymore, right? Huh? It's all good, man. Hey, some of you guys keep, raise your hand, class, raise your hand if you've been impacted by Coach Dave Live. Thank you. Thank you. Not that you're following me, but all the variety of arguments you hear, different perspectives, different theological views. I come in here every morning and it's exciting because what are we going to talk about today that I'd never really thought about? I never really thought about that, right? Stuff you never hear in church because why? Your church is probably a denomination, although they will call themselves non-denominational. They're the denominate means to divide. They're merely one of the divisions. They say, oh, no, we're independent. Yeah, you're independent denomination. You have what you believe. And if people don't agree with you, then you don't fellowship with them. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Thank you. And so I try to cross that divide here. I'll often come here and tell you, I don't know. I don't know if it's a rapture. You said, oh, but Coach Dave, you got to go to Revelation. Okay. Then why? Well, okay. I don't see it that way. Because I don't see it that way, I'm going to try to prepare some of you out there for a non-rapture. What if Jesus doesn't come? They call it, where I live, an ulterior plan. An ulterior plan. I'm praying for the rapture, but I'm planning in case it doesn't come or I'm late. And then some people get mad because I don't believe like they. Betty, give me a thumbs up. Will you, Betty? Huh? So you don't have any idea. You think this is an easy chair to sit in? You think it's an easy chair? Because people attack off of what they believe the Bible teaches or what somebody's told them what it teaches. And then, can I tell you the truth? I don't know. Is there a rabbit? I don't know. Is our relationship with Israel paramount? Is that the most important thing in American Christianity, our relationship with Israel and Jews? Sorry, I don't think so. That's just me. I don't think so. But I'll still be your buddy. I'll still be your friend. Huh? Yeah. So when you get baptized, do you sprinkle or do you submerge? I ain't going to argue about it. I mean, I don't care. I don't care. You with me? Do you have any idea just in here right now how many different religious traditions are? And by the way, the Bible says that you teach as commandments the doctrines of men. Jesus Christ said that. Can you find that, Spencer, real quick? I'm going to trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan would say. You teach as commandments, he said to the Jewish leaders, you teach as commandments the doctrines of men. And it gets even worse than that. Because you teach as commandments the doctrines of men, you make the word of God of none effect. Huh? The people draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. But dude, I ain't got their heart. I ain't got their heart. They talk a good game. But in vain. Hey, what does vain mean? Vain. But in vain. In other words, no fruit. Go ahead, put vain up there. Empty, no fruit. No fruit. I'm fruitless, ineffectual, empty, worthless, having no substance. In vain. Go back, Spencer. I know we're going to do communion. Hang on. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, there's someplace else that this is probably up there. I think another version of it. Here's why I'm saying this. Because when you teach for doctrines the commandments of men, the word says, making the word of God of none effect. Hmm? And the truth is, where you go to church or what your denomination is, you go to that church and you believe that theology. Even though the church across the street teaching a different theology. What? There it is. And you suffer him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spencer. Betty's going to send you $2. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father and mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. And many such like things do ye. So I'd say this to you. I don't know why this is coming out. I'm going to let it come out of me. Here's what I believe. And I'm not going to repent for what I believe. I might be wrong. I might be wrong. But I come in here every day and I try to be as open and honest with doctrine as I can. I'm not a theologian. Don't want to be one. Craig, get in there with Craig, Mr. Numbers. He'll tie you in knots with theology. Not theology. By the way, theology, ology, study of. Theo is a study of God, of religion, of king. Theo, theology. My opinion, what I believe about God. And I'm sorry if your theology doesn't line up with mine. That doesn't make us enemies. With me? I know you're with me. So I just ask a little bit of grace because this ain't an easy job, man. It ain't an easy job. Well, how about this? Pull this up just for me. Just out. By the way, no show on Monday. I don't do a show on Memorial Day because I want our crew to be able to sleep in with their family, okay? That's why I do it. I know you guys would like to come, but Spencer might want to sleep in for once. So that's why. No show on Memorial Day. But Spencer, if you could, pull up number 3. We're going to do communion. I promise we're going to do communion here in a minute. Look at this old boy. Pull it up here. No, that's not the one. Is that what I gave you the wrong one? Which one is it? Oh, I make notes to myself, and sometimes I don't make very good notes to myself. I want this old boy here, huh? 104 years old, Dominic Critelli. Can I tell you this? I'm not sure those guys who stormed Omaha Beach, Normandy Beach, and Memorial Day. I don't think they did that for a secular nation. Does anybody, Paul? Hey, Dr. Paul, you think they did it for a secular nation? I don't think they did. Because the Bible says greater love is no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. Ultimately, they went to war over their faith on who was going to be king. Were the Christians going to be king? Or were the Nazis going to be king? Who's going to be king? Who's going to rule? And so now we find ourselves in America where there's the secularists are ruling. Spencer, real quickly, another $2. Look up secular. Secular. Remember separation between the church and state, right? Separation between the church. Secular is pertaining to this present world or to do things not spiritual or holy. So America, which was founded by, as a Christian nation for the advancement of the Christian faith, Mayflower Compact, for the advancement of the Christian place, has now become a world, a secular world that pertains of things not spiritual or holy. So we find ourselves in a culture, in a society, where right and wrong is determined by a vote. Abortion's okay because they voted it. Five justices says it's okay. That's what a secular government does. That's what a secular government does, right? And so we threw out Christ. We disassociated ourselves from Christianity. And what came flooding in? Secularism. Leaders like Kamala Harris. Hey, Donald Trump. Barack the Muslim Obama. In a secular society, there's many gods or no gods, or I'm God. Humanism, quickly, Spencer, humanism. Am I doing okay? Humanism, pull up humanism. What is humanism? Well, it's the religion of the world. It's the religion of the world. Humanism is a progressive philosophy of life that, without theism is God, or other supernatural beliefs, affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives of personal fulfillment that aspire to the greater good. Now, here's the problem you have with humanism. Some words in here, that are, I'm just stream of consciousness, bear with me, right? Without theism being God, or supernatural beliefs, humanism affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical lives. Time out a minute. Hey, Dr. Paul Goslin. What is ethical if there are no standards? What is ethical? What is that? What does that even mean? So you would go as a doctor and you're in med school and they're teaching you how to abort babies. And you say, dude, this ain't even ethical. This ain't even ethical. But they would say, well, Paul, you can't stay in school because you don't follow our beliefs. Yes or no, Paul? Yes or no, right? So when there is no God,
isn't that, Coach? Morality is not the same thing as ethics.
Okay, you're right. Right. Amen. Right.
Medicine has its own ethics, its own dark
rules. It's godless.
It's not moral.
It's godless. See, so we've evolved into a godless culture. We've evolved into a culture of many gods, which is humanism, really. It affirms our ability and responsibility to lead ethical. What's ethical? What does that even mean? What is the standard of right and wrong if there's no standard bearer, if there's no foundation, right? So that's where we are. We're secular. We're secular. And we have men running for office and women in office who don't believe in Christianity, nor the ethics of Christianity. Although they would say it's wrong to judge somebody as they judge you. And their idea of where judgment comes from, you're not to judge, well, they're judging them. What do you mean? So you understand the confusion, Satan, the author of confusion. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place here. We want to get to communion. We want to get to communion. I want to finish this thought, and I'm going to let. Okay. How many old boys like this old boy, 104-year-old World War II veteran, performed the national anthem on a saxophone? Hey, you know he used to be 18 years old? You know he was 17 years old, 18 years old, and he got on a boat and went and fought somewhere. He ended up in a rice paddy somewhere. He ended up in, And when we go to war today, when we're going to war today in America, what are we going to war for? Over what? That's a debate, isn't it? We're not going to war over the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're not doing that. In fact, we're secular. We're right just because we're right. We're right because we're, as my mom used to say to me when my brothers would beat up on me, right, might doesn't make right. Might doesn't make right. We're not boss just because we're powerful. And that's how we try to act. So here's this 104-year-old. He used to be 16 years old. Just go and play. Because we're not doing a show on Monday in honor of Dominic, go ahead and play this.
And here to perform our national anthem, please welcome 104-year-old World War II Army veteran, Staff Sergeant Dominic Critelli.
Hang on a minute. Freeze it. Hey, folks. A lot of people made a lot of sacrifices so we could be where we are today. Go ahead. Man, huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, Staff Sergeant.
We got something to fight for. Go ahead, let us all go back here, Spencer. Let's honor that old boy with the applause that he gets here.
Dominic Critelli.
Who traded the greatest generation for the selfish generation. Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life. Now we preach your best life now, right? Huh? Come on. Come on. It happened in the church first. It happened in the church. Get your communion ready to go here. And I want to announce something here. Pull up number one, Spencer. I don't know. Because Joe, who's going to lead us in communion. Thank you, Joe, for getting up. It's 4:30 out there where Joe is. 4:30. Did you know this, folks? Colorado Governor Jared Polls has now confirmed he has commuted Tina Peters' sentence. How long has Joe been talking about that? If she will be officially free with a release date of June 1. Why they don't let her out now, I don't know. I don't know. But every Friday for how long Joe's been bringing Tina Peters up? Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Hey, Joe, thanks for getting up so early, brother. Come on in and lead us in communion. Hey, Chad, I don't know what you got. You got communion up there, Chad? Hey, Chad, you're not hitting on my wife up there, are you?
Calm down.
Okay. Come on. Come on in, Joe. Hey, Joe, thanks. I just want to say this publicly, Joe. We appreciate you doing it. And Chad and I were having a discussion last night. Dude, if you need a break, it's got to be hard for you. You said, hey, coach, I'd like to do it maybe every other week or something like that. I want you to know, dude, it's all good with me here. So we appreciate you getting up and what you're doing. And thanks for doing it. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, thank you, coach. And praise the Lord that our prayers have been answered. And Sister Tina will be a free woman. Yeah, in a few days.
Yep. Amen. June 1st. Huh? Hey, may not mean anything to you, means everything to her.
Oh. It's the power of prayer, and I have a feeling she's going to be on a mission.
Amen.
She's going to be on a mission for God.
Yeah, amen.
Spreading some truth. Our reading this morning is 1 Corinthians 15, 50 to 58. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality.
Yeah, man, that is really deep and profound, isn't it, folks? If you just try to think that through, don't ever forget this. Listen. You are a spirit living in a body. You are not a body.
Yeah, we are the meat suit. You're right, Coach. It's pretty profound. We can read the words, but I don't really think we understand it.
I don't think so either.
So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Ain't no victory in that grave. Amen.
The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law.
Wow, that is so profound. The strength of sin is the law. Folks, we have to preach more law. law is the schoolmaster that drives us to repentance. We have to, that's wrong, and here's why. Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not sorry. Go ahead.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Mm. Look, hey, vain means empty without purpose. Know this, that your efforts are not in vain. You may not see the results of it, but your efforts are your faith. That's the outward expression of your faith. You're responsible for your faith and working out your faith. You're not responsible for the results. Be faithful and do what it is that's in your heart. Go ahead, Joe.
Dearly Father, we come to you again with gratitude in our hearts, but a little extra gratitude this morning, Lord, for answering our prayer. And it wasn't a little prayer, it was a pretty big prayer. That you had softened the heart of Pharaoh. You softened the heart of Pharaoh and he let an innocent woman free.
Amen.
And now we pray that the real truth come out. Let the real truth come out now, Lord. And let that be something that sets us a little bit more free. Because the truth sets us free. And Lord, this is a big weekend in America. A lot of people are traveling. A lot of people are having guests. And everybody is going to be moving around. Not everybody, but a lot are moving around. So we ask, Lord, that you watch over this nation in this time of travel. And you, especially those on this show and our friends and families and those listening now or who listen later. Watch over us if we're traveling. Watch over us anyway if we're at home. But let us be your ambassadors wherever we go or wherever we remain. Let us remember at all times we are your ambassador, Lord. And let us always be thankful for what you've done. And communion, we have been told we are to remember what you've done when we take communion. And it is a holy moment. So we ask that you forgive our sins and transgressions and bring us cleansed into your sight. We ask that you bless this bread and drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for us so many years ago. And we remind you, remind us, Lord, you remind me, the Holy Spirit reminds me that this can be the meal that heals. And we all have aches and pains, but some of us have something that might really require a healing that needs to be healed. So let those, or let us, who have something in us that we want to be the way that you made us to be, and not the way that it is now. It could be our fault, it could be hereditary, it could be just what we think is chance, but whatever it is that's not as it we were created to be, Lord, we ask that this mustard seed of faith blossom into a tree, and that those who need to receive a healing can receive the healing now. And it can come a little bit at a time, and it can be instant. It doesn't. That's not up to us, Lord. That's up to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But let us take captive our thoughts and not go against being healed. Let us not speak of my illness or my this or my that. Look, we don't own that. You don't want to own something that that's hurting you, that's trying to perhaps to kill you. You don't want to own that. You want to reject that. You don't ever say it's mine. So let us remember to take captive our tongue and not fight the healings that God is trying to give us. Let us remember that life and death are in our tongue. So let us speak life about ourselves. Let us speak health about ourselves. Let us speak healed and healing about ourselves and not what we don't want to happen. And so thank you, Lord, for communion. Thank you that we're able to participate in the great covenant. And thank you for rededicating this nation to you, Lord. Such an important thing to do. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come."
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for getting up, Joe. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Got a long drive today.
Be safe. Hey, quickly, I want to brag a minute. Can I brag real quickly? I got God. It's 7:38 already. Hey, Spencer, I just sent you a picture. At a kind of a neat moment last night. Spencer, get it up on the screen. Our local softball team. That's my granddaughter in the middle. That's our two daughters. Over here on this side, in the red is our daughter Abby. She lives at the top of the hill, and over the other side is our daughter Maggie. She lives on the other side here. Maggie played softball at Marietta College, 4-year starter at Marietta. Abby played softball at Hillsdale College in Michigan, 4-year starter. And that's their daughter. That's Maggie. Abby, the runner in the red, that's her daughter, oldest granddaughter, Reese. That's our oldest grandchild. Well, last night, they won Reese's team won. She's only a freshman. She's on the varsity, but she doesn't play much. She didn't play last night. But they won the district. It's a big deal. They won the district softball championship last night. And in Hebron, this little small town we have, when you win the district, they get out all the fire trucks. And everybody, the girls all get on the fire trucks and sirens blaring. They drive right through downtown Hebron all the way out to high school. It's just a glorious, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's cool, right? It's cool. So Reese got to be on that fire truck last night. And got to experience that, being part of it. But here's the amazing thing. I believe Abby, the one in the red, who played softball at Hillsdale, she won a district championship. What year would that have been? 2003, I'm guessing. And then Reese's aunt, Maggie, the one over on the other side, won a district championship 3 years later. So Abby won. I'll get the numbers wrong, Michelle, forgive me. Abby won a district championship in 2003, guessing. Maggie won one in 2008, I'm guessing. And Reese won one in 2026. And as far as I know, that is the first mother-daughter district softball champ in the history of Lakewood. So it's pretty cool. We were all there last night, and just proud of, you know, what I was proud of, that she got to enjoy that experience. And again, it's such a unifying factor to think that the town would would turn out for a freaking soft girls softball championship and honkhorns and fire. Like, folks, America's still Christian, man. It's still Christian. We still want to love our neighbors. We still, and how they've been able to divide us is almost, it's reprehensible. And think at the heart of all of it is Christian morality. We don't even teach it anymore. We don't teach it. So here's why Michelle and I are blessed, among other reasons. Maggie lives right over there on our compound, as I say, with her five babies. And Abby lives right over there with her four babies. And their babies end up in our kitchen every morning. So we're blessed, men. Amen. I just want to, thanks for letting me brag there a little bit. Hey, Chad. Chad's upstairs. Let me pull him in here real quick because he'd get mad if he didn't get to say something. You up there, Chad? Got to be something I trust him up
there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's
okay, Chad. You're on, man. What, you're on. Tell us your story, not your life story. They all want to know, Chad. What are you doing here? Why are you here?
There was a calling. I woke up in the middle of the night and it says, go to coaches. Go to coaches. So here I am.
All right.
I don't know what you want me to say, bro.
Well, why are you here? They want to know why you're here. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a side hustle.
Chad's a retired cop, and he's doing side hustles, making some money on the side.
Look, just do the show, bro. They don't care about me. I'm doing a side hustle, okay? But in the course of this ministry, we meet people, we have these relationships. And this is the thing, when you're out here traveling around, one thing that's great is that you can get on the phone and you can call somebody ahead of time and say, hey, I'm passing through there. You want to stop? You want to meet up or something like that? And this is a great thing to be able to have this, so you can pit stop or whatever and spend the night, save you $100, $150, whatever, and have some great fellowship at the same time. And we must take time out for each other to do these things. We must try to do that. Amen.
So Chad's side hustle, which he's not telling you, he's hauling a car. He's hauling a car from Texas to New York, I think. He dropped it off. Now he's heading back home. He gets paid to do that, but he's on the road for, right? So we've been blessed to have him around, making me laugh a little bit. He got in our exercise chair last night. But the point Chad's making is we do have a network of people all across the country. We do that. So, Chad, anything else you want to say, man? Quit hitting on my wife.
I just want to say that, Dave, that you're so wonderful.
There you go. And that's what I was waiting to hear.
Appreciate you.
All right. That's what I was waiting to hear. Right. We've had fun. I'm going to take him out to eat here, or Gigi's cooking or whatever. I got some more stuff, but I'm going to shut up. Oh, no, let me show you this. This is pretty cool. AI. I still don't have AI figured out, folks. Yeah, I still don't have it figured out. Pull up. That's not it. Where am I going to find it? I was not going to do that one. Mark Trump sent me. He sent me AI. There it is. Now I'm going to put this in the chat. We're not going to take time to do it. But this is the seven churches of Revelation 2, verse 3. And again, Jesus walks among his churches. He knows, he cares, he calls to overcome. And so there are the seven churches: Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. An amazing, even denominations. How does the AI know all this stuff? And then it goes down and explains what they were, what their sin was. It's really, really fascinating. So I'm not going to spend any more time on it other than put it in the chat, because I read down through that thing. Scroll down a little bit on that, Spence, if you could. I thought, man, God, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. So, hey, hang on. Did you know the churches with no rebuke were Smyrna and Philadelphia, and churches with no praise was Sardis and Laodicea? Remember, the church of Laodicea left its first love, didn't it? And the doctrine of love was Ephesus and Thyatira, and persecution and prosperity were Smyrna and Laodicea. The pattern of each letter, Jesus describes himself, gives commendation, what they're doing well. He gives them a rebuke, what they're doing wrong. He calls them to repent or endure. And he promises a promise to the overcomer. It's really, really fascinating. So put it in the chat when you're sitting around and you're watching your boiled eggs boil. Just spend a little bit of time. And I come to the realization, dang, there's so much I don't know. Y'all agree with that? And my people are destroyed. Why? Lack of knowledge. You don't get it. You don't get it. All right, you're leaving me hanging. Somebody come on in. Go wherever you want to go. We got 14 minutes. Go ahead. Come on. Door's open. Otherwise, you're just going to sit here and look at me for the next 14 minutes. Good. Jeff Nell. Come on in, Jeff.
Well, what an experience I had at our center. Is a homosexual, trans, and stuff this way. I called you yesterday about it a little bit. It was it reminds me of you put the 7 inch ahead of them. When they came back, they said the demon, the demons respond, and oh my goodness, demons did respond.
We don't believe in demons, Jeff. We don't believe in demons here. Go ahead.
Well, they responded. Yeah. The demons responded. And I use Proverbs 16. 16 God hates and some out of decibel. The sheriff's department came to my door because I preached the word of God. And it didn't say that you do not enter. I didn't have my cell phone at the time. And she jumped, the sheriff's deputy jumped to Proverbs 16. 16 that God hates. And dissension among the brotherhood. And the individual was of the world. Because they cussed me up and down and this way. Anyway, thank you.
Sure, sure. Hey, here's a great promise. This is in the gospel. Matt, pull it up, Spence, just so I don't want people to think I'm lying. Matthew chapter 5, I think it is. Matthew chapter 5. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. By the way, another teaching, heaven's not where you're going. Heaven's what comes. Difference between the heaven, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, for they become blessed are the meek. Look, he's talking about all these people getting the crap beat out of them, right? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You ready? Changes pronouns. Blessed are you. You guys see that? Go back up there a little bit, Spencer. Huh? Go some theys and thems and those and those. Blessed are theys and those and this. And then all of a sudden, verse 11, he smacks you right in the face. Blessed are you. See that, Betty? Blessed are you. When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. In other words, you're preaching the gospel and they're accusing you falsely because they hate him for his sake. You're doing it for his sake, right? He says, when that happens to you, hey, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? For great is your reward in heaven. Because they persecuted the prophets which were before you. You ain't the first one. You're the salt of the earth, not the sugar, not the honeycomb. You're the salt of the earth. And what happens? People don't like salt. They spit it out. Salt heals wounds, makes wounds burn. And you come and you start spreading the salt and they reject it. They hate you. Right? You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt quits being salty, church, how does it get salty again? Wherewith? How does it get salty again? It's thenceforth good for nothing. What is good for, folks, what is good for nothing? Salt. Wait a minute. What is salt? You. You. It's good for nothing. It is then. But if you stop having saltiness, how will you be salty again? It says, Spencer, I never do this. Pull up the Message Bible. I understand it's not actual scripture. I understand. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness. And you're going to end up in the garbage. Now, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God's not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand, a light stand. You, I'm putting you on one. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop and on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. It's pretty good, isn't it? But don't think for a minute that I've come to demolish the scriptures. Either God's law or the prophets. But dudes, I'm not here to demolish it, but to complete it. I'm going to put it all together. Pull it all together in a vast panorama. God's law is more real and lasting than the stars in the sky and the ground at your feet. Long after stars burn out and earth wears out, God's law will be alive and working. Trivialize even the smallest item in God's law, and you will only have trivialized yourself. But if you take it seriously and show the way for others, man, you're going to find honor in the kingdom. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom. I'm not going to go on with it, right? That's our call. That's our call. And folks, we've tried to make attractive, tasty what Jesus told us ain't going to taste good to him. You get that? He said, You ain't sugar. Sometimes you can use it, but you ain't sugar. We've got a sugar-coated gospel. Give me, boom. Somebody give me a boom or a thumbs up. We got a sugar-coated gospel. And in this sugar-coated gospel, there are no enemies. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, if I love my neighbor as myself, I'm going to tell them the truth. When I stand in front of the mirror and look at myself, short, squatty guy that I am, I said, man, I got to quit eating or do whatever. And I walk out and I say to my wife, honey, do I look fat? Loaded question, right? And she loves me. And she says, oh, you got a little belly. Right? She doesn't say, oh, honey, you're 6'5" and slender and muscular. No. No, she tells me, yeah. And we're in a situation in the world because we won't tell them the truth. We won't tell them the truth. I'm rambling here. I'm rambling. You get it, right?
But hey, this is the reason we have widespread insecurities. Because we've been told, our daughter's been told growing up, they're princesses. And it's not true.
Yeah. It's not true. It's not true.
And we've been fed these things. To your point, I think we've been fed these things. And so when we look in the mirror, we don't see that. So then we say, well, my mother and them wouldn't lie to me. Certainly they wouldn't, people that wouldn't tell me this. So Why am I not? Why am I not measuring? They say we don't measure up to our own standards.
No.
Because we've been fed bull.
We have. We've been fed, especially in our generation, folks, especially in our generation, the name it, claim it, blab it, and grab it prosperity gospel has destroyed us. Because what happens? You tell somebody to come to Jesus and he'll make your life wonderful. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, we know the gospel, right? And then 2 weeks later, something horrible happens in their life. And then they say, this is sure good. When in fact, it's probably evidence you're on the right course and the enemy's trying to trip you up, probably. Probably. And that's where we are. That's where I saw, again, let me circle back around. I saw it again last night. I saw the community. People lined the streets as they drove a fire truck down Little Old Hebron, population of 2,000 people. People came out and were on the streets, honking their horns, waving flags. In unity. And the enemy has done everything he can to divide and conquer us, right? Divide and conquer. It's everywhere you look. Divide and conquer. Criticize. I'm better. You're wrong. I'm right. Over and over and over again. The scripture says how pleasant it is when men dwell together in unity. It's like, hey, Spencer, see if, man, I only got a minute and a half. Spencer, that's a quick one. How good and pleasant it is when men dwell together in unity. See if you can find that, Spencer. When men dwell together in unity. Not uniformity, but unity of purpose. Unity. Spencer, I'm sending you $4. Psalm 133. Go back, go the other way. Okay, it is right there. How wonderful, how beautiful when brothers and sisters get along. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yep, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life, where there is unity. So if I was the devil, I'd be sowing discord amongst the brethren. And the Bible says that the Lord hates those who sow discord amongst the brethren. That's the battle, right? That's the battle. That's the battle we're facing. God bless America. God bless the vets. God bless all of it, right? Huh? Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength. Serve the King of Kings. That's our mission. That's our mission. That's our calling. Have a great weekend. See you on Tuesday. God bless you.